important cases that you participate in most.
Were the, really the most important cases that were before the court during the entire 8.5 to 9 years of my service on the court. They changed the way in which we govern ourselves. I think for that reason, they had much more direct and lasting impact upon the citizens of this state, and indeed the citizens of this country. In any other cases in the court during the time I served, I don't take credit for that. Credit belongs to Talbot Smith, because it was Talbot, whose opinion I signed, but who wrote the dissenting opinion in Scholl versus Secretary of State. That was the seminal work on reapportionment in modern times that emerged in language strikingly reminiscent of what Talbot wrote in Scholl when the Supreme Court made its decision in Baker versus Hart. The Scholl case and the Baker case were pending in the Supreme Court at the same time. It was just a matter of chance that Baker was selected by the court for decision rather than Scholl.
But in 1960, you and Smith split with Edwards.
Yes.
On the law as against Scholl.
Yes.
Was this enormously complicated by the flux that was occurring? And when you had a new constitution in Michigan
being written. No, it wasn't. It hadn't been written, you see.
But then the next chapter in 62, it was being written. Yep. Then there was 64, and it was written, but the Supreme Court, the United States, are not yet spoken. You realize that some of those cases in 50 and 52 and 3 had made started up. But go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt.
The Scholl case forced the court to consider the philosophical basis for a representative government. And Talbot wrote in support of the concept of one man, one vote. And he did it in a way that tracked the historical development of our beliefs about a Republican form of government, representative form of government. And he did it by reliance upon precedent, tracing the development of the thought of representation in the Republican form of government to the constitutional language which required the apportionment every 10 years to do what? To reflect changes in population. And when you reach that point, what can that mean other than that the framers of the Constitution intended that every 10 years there would be an adjustment of districts to equalize them in their population, numbers, people represented. I find once again Talbot Smith is underrated by his own people, but not by thoughtful legal scholars around the country. I think he's recognized by others as the giant he was in terms of what he wrote in that case. The subsequent cases involving the new Constitution's imposition of responsibility upon the Supreme Court for making decisions involving reapportionment by the Commission seemed to me to have violated the concepts of separation of power. We were asked in those subsequent cases following the 1963 decision, the 1963 Constitution, to perform functions that were non-judicial in nature, and That's when I wrote, I thought that our role was an inappropriate role for a court to perform. We were not asked to exercise a judicial function. We were asked simply to act as referees to determine which of competing plans most nearly met the constitutional standards. But what if we concluded that neither really meets the constitutional standard? What was the power we had? We had no power to modify any of the plans. We had to pick between A, B, C, or D, or however many plans are submitted to us. And we could gag over picking A over B, but we had to pick A because it most nearly satisfied the constitutional standard. That's what happened with the Kleiner Plan. The Kleiner Plan certainly was no work of art. It had its flaws as well as the other plan. The other plan's name escapes me.
The Hanna Plan. Hanna Brecker of it.
Yeah. But it most closely complied with the constitutional mandate of equality.
But did you not, in 64, say that the court exercises powers of equity to do this, even though it was a repugnant role? Or do I not follow?
No, I think what I said was that we should refuse to perform in a non-judicial way. We should exercise our own inherent power as a court of equity to require, as I recall it, redistricting on a district-wide, statewide basis. I thought that that was within our power to do, but no one else did until Tom Kavanaugh came along. And Tom, you know, took his lumps on the way.